Welcome to Intuitive Transformations with your host, Sylvia Henderson, and discover tools, wisdom, and inspiration that will empower you to transform your life. Sylvia is an intuitive life coach and energy healer with a growing practice that is focused on empowering others to be more of who they want to be. For the next hour, join Sylvia and explore and unravel anything in the way of you creating the life that you would love to live on the Om Times Radio Network.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Intuitive Transformations radio show, where you will find tools that you can use to change and transform your life every Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Om Times Radio Network, the voice of consciousness at omtimes.com. This is Sylvia Henderson, your host, and if you'd like to learn more about me and the work that I do, and please visit my website at intuitivetransformations.net. And if you sign up to be added to my email group, you can download a free 20-minute healing audio called Healing Fear During Uncertain Times, which will support you in releasing fear and worry and anxiety, especially during times of change and uncertainty. Now, we all know that fear is an illusion created by our own imagination. But with that said, fear does feel very real emotionally and even physiologically, especially when we worry, when worry and anxiety are companions. So this 20-minute audio will guide you through a relaxing guided imagery healing meditation process that allows you to release your fearful thoughts. And this is my gift to you for being such wonderful Intuitive Transformation radio show listeners. So with that being said, I have to tell you that I discovered something on my website that was a little bit of a technical glitch. Some of you joined up to join my email list during the month of January, and you did not receive your digital download of Healing Fear During Uncertain Times. So first of all, I want to apologize to you if this is what happened. And second, if it did occur and happen to you when you signed up for my email list, just send me your email. I'm sorry, send me an email, and I'll personally send you a digital download copy of the audio so that you have that. Fingers crossed that this will never happen again, but with technology today, you know, technical glitches just happen. You know, that's just the state of the world these days. So please forgive me for these issues, and just rest assured that if you send me an email and let me know that you signed up for my email list, but you didn't get your free copy of Healing Fear During Uncertain Times, I will personally send you that copy so that you have that. So today is Thursday, February 16th, 2017, and joining me is Iman Al-Zabi, and she is author of a beautiful new book titled The Art of Surrender, A Practical Guide to Enlightened Happiness and Well-Being. Those of you who listen to my show regularly know that I typically interview authors who offer valuable information in their books that they have written. And I have to tell you, as someone who gets to read a book every single week, that there are very few books that cross my path that actually cause me to get emotional in a very joyful way because of its very existence. And the guest that is joining us today has written just such a book. Again, her name is Iman Al-Zabi, and she is joining us on the show. She'll be joining us on the show in just a moment to share her spiritual insights and her thoughtful wisdom, which she also writes about within the pages of her debut book, The Art of Surrender. Now, before I bring her on, let me tell you a little bit more about this brilliant, inspirational author. Iman Al-Zabi is a life coach, and she holds a degree in business information technology and a master's in business administration. In addition to her private coaching practice, Iman works at New York University at their Abu Dhabi campus in the United Arab Emirates. Iman comes from a traditional Arab Muslim family in Abu Dhabi. After years of suffering from anxiety, panic attacks, and depression, she began a practice of energy healing despite her family's objections to what they felt was in conflict with her faith. Isolated from her family and feeling the loss of their support, Iman uttered one prayer to God that became her affirmation, and this was, "Show me the bridge." She made it her mission to bring the loving spirituality of Islam to a Western audience, laying out a blueprint for true peace and authentic living. Iman pursued her journey of exploring science, the Quran, and the realm of spirituality to discern her own truth. The result is her brand new book, The Art of Surrender, the first modern spirituality book incorporating the underlying principles of Islam, which are humility, peace, and unity. Drawing on her Muslim heritage and her wise and careful exploration of a variety of spiritual traditions, The Art of Surrender thoughtfully illuminates how the soul's journey can lead us to the ultimate state of fulfillment and joy through the energy of surrender. Iman, welcome to the Intuitive Transformations Radio Show.
Thank you, Sylvia, for having me. Thank you so much.
Well, I am just so happy that you are staying up late for us tonight, because it is literally 12 p.m. your time. And I'm just so delightful that through the magic of technology that you're joining us all the way from Abu Dhabi. And congratulations on writing such a beautiful and relevant book. Now, before we dig deep into your book, I'd like for those who are listening to the show to learn a little bit more about you. You were raised in a traditional Arab Muslim family in Abu Dhabi. So for someone on the outside looking in who has limited or zero frame of reference as to what that really means, what does a traditional Arab Muslim family look like and experience that might make it different from any other family?
Well, the Arab world is evolved around tribal culture. And so we live in tribes that are comprised of smaller families. So the culture is basically a tribal, parental type of culture. The houses are basically open to guests all the time, to relatives that go in and out. We're always hosting people. Hospitality is a feature of this culture. Generosity is another feature of this culture. So people are very much connected to each other, and they're in each other's life all the time. They stand by each other. They support each other all the time. Someone needs a favor, they just immediately seek to return, to give that to them. So it's a very collaborative and connected culture. But within that, of course, as children, we grow up around adults that are, you know, in our lives, and they become the auntie and the relative, the father and the mother and the grandfather and the grandmother and everyone else. So we're always surrounded by these people, and so we receive a lot of input from them all the time. So that's basically how we get to grow up in an Arab culture family.
So on one hand, in the Western culture, we have that to a much lesser degree in terms of the influence that adults play actively in our lives growing up. It sounds like in more of the traditional Arab Muslim culture, it's about all the adults kind of collectively or collaboratively really weigh in on all the decisions that the younger members of the family are facing or in their lives. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. It goes even beyond that. If a woman just gives birth to her child, her sister and her mother and everyone else gets to help. If the child needs breastfeeding, her friend might even offer to do that for them. But in that case, they become, you know, the children of these two women become brothers and sisters, of course. They never marry because it's the same bloodline, we consider that. So it takes a tribe to raise a child. That's the culture that we live in. It's starting to become more modernized right now. People are starting to raise smaller families. They started to disconnect a little bit. They're starting to create their own homes instead of the family house, which I am familiar with and grew up in. So it's starting to change for us a little bit. It makes me sad sometimes because we're losing some of the values. And sometimes it works for this modern, you know, lifestyle that we're starting to lead here.
Yeah. Well, that sense of community is I mean, that's huge. That's tremendous. And I can see why there would be a little bit of a grief that you're feeling around losing that aspect of it, because it sounds incredibly supportive. It also, you know, when I heard you say that when a woman has a child, that other people get to participate. It's like that's not even an optional choice from the mom as to whether or not they want that. It's just an expectation that everyone is one in this community. And in some ways, that's a very loving and empowering environment to grow up in, I would imagine.
Absolutely, yeah.
So now, I know we're going to come up on a commercial break in about a minute or so, but one of the things that led you on your journey of stretching beyond the boundaries and the borders of your faith was your own experience around anxiety, panic attacks, and depression. And when we get back from the break, we're going to have you talk a little bit about that. We'll be back in just a moment, everyone. Please stay tuned.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
Little, I didn't talk for a long time. I was sensitive to lights and sounds, so I built secret hiding places where they couldn't get in. Sometimes I did the same things over and over, until one day I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You are listening to Sylvia Henderson on the Intuitive Transformations Radio Show, and I have with me today my guest, Iman Al-Zabi, and she is the author of The Art of Surrender, A Practical Guide to Enlightened Happiness and Well-Being. And before we went to the break, she had shared a little bit about her experiences growing up in a traditional Arab Muslim home in Abu Dhabi. And before we went to the break, I invited her to begin to think about sharing about her own personal experience with anxiety, panic attacks, and depression. So, Iman, in your bio, you talk about that experience in your life, and you talk about that in your book. So would you mind sharing some of your story around that? Because these are issues, these are challenges that many, many people secretly struggle with every single day. So would you mind just sharing your story about what it was like when you were going through that and how you were able to tap into or extend beyond the borders of your the Islamic faith, stretch it a little bit to step into energy healing?
Sure. Of course, I came full circle when it comes to the understanding of energy healing and all of that. I've done even further research into it, but that's for another show. But for now, it started all when I was around 19, 20 years old after giving birth of my first child. He was a premature, and I was just still studying. It is a tradition that women would get married early in life. So I think I got married when I was 18, or maybe 19, yes, and I had my child when I was 20. And during that time, I developed postpartum depression that lasted for about 7 years. It never left me. With that depression, I experienced anxiety attacks, panic disorder. I kind of had that feeling of feeling disconnected, depersonalization, where you kind of feel like you're swimming in your brain. Life doesn't feel tangible or real. That's because my mind was overwhelmed with so much fear and anxiety. I remember a time when I was just in the street, and I saw a little bird that was actually hurt. And I took the bird because my heart was like, you know, I need to take care of this bird. But during that time of anxiety, I started to obsess that maybe the bird was actually sick and maybe that I needed to clean my hand 100 times in order to make sure I don't catch whatever he had. And I turned a compassionate experience into something fearful. And my mind was basically working against me all the time. I'd have an anxiety attack maybe 3 or 4 times a day. And if you had those, you'd feel like, you know, it feels like dying in the moment. It literally feels like that. So my nervous system was on alert all the time. I couldn't make it stop. I couldn't make myself relax. Even when I go to the spa to get some massages and get myself to relax, they tell me, you're so uptight, relax. But I couldn't. I didn't know how to do it until I started to feel. I actually was in a book fair, and during that time, I saw a book. I didn't know what it was that made me buy that book. The title of the book was Panic Attacks. And when I started to read, I didn't know that's what I had. But when I started to read what's inside, I was like, oh my God, that's what I have. Then I was able to label what was wrong with me. And when I started to label that, I said, okay, maybe there is help. And I started to follow some of the strategies that it included in the book. It wasn't as helpful, but what was helpful that it kind of named the issue for me, which was a big step towards healing. And then after a while, I started to understand, maybe I have power over this. And then I started to move from Prozac and all of the antidepressant medications into cognitive behavioral therapy, where I started to understand, okay, maybe I need to reprogram my brain and make it see the positive rather than be in the negative all the time. And that was a first step that I took towards taking charge of my healing journey. And then that led me to taking a course in energy healing and learning how energy moves in the body, learning how to kind of shift it. I remember I was in the class with my teacher, and I took the pills, and I told him, today is going to be the last day that I take these pills. And I threw that away, never looked back ever since. It's been over 12 years now. Never look back. So that was, to me, a turning point where I decided I'm no longer going to depend on the pills, but I'm going to take charge of my healing journey. So, and it's been an amazing journey so far.
Wow, that's a wonderful story. So when you say energy medicine, can you clarify that a little bit? Because here in the U.S., you know, it's such a catch-all phrase. I mean, there are people who do Reiki, yeah, and that's energy healing. There's people that do tapping, and that's energy healing. And so when you say energy healing, what are you talking about specifically?
Sure. I mean, I've done most of those modalities, not Reiki, but I've done something similar to Reiki, which is where you just put your hand and move the energy or transmit energy through intention on whatever you're experiencing, or use meditation to move energy out of your system, or use breathing techniques. So I've done so many modalities by now that I kind of understand the underlying principles of moving energy. So it's like the technique is not relevant anymore, because the more you understand how energy moves through your intention and an ability to kind of let it go, would be the best way to move it out of your system. And again, I go back to using the turning point as a term, which is the moment of decision that you make. That's the starting point for your healing journey.
I agree. Once you set that firm intention, it changes everything. It's like everything aligns to support you along the way. And in speaking about support, I know that during the time that you were taking these classes and working with energy from a different point of view than what the rest of your family traditionally felt was in alignment with their belief systems are with the Muslim faith, you were very challenged by your family. And so how were you able to remain inspired and continue your exploration in your journey of healing yourself without their support? What kept you going in spite of some resistance that you met?
Well, what kept me going was basically the faith that I was actually doing a good thing. The understanding that, you know what, God would lead me to the way if this was not the way that I should be on. And I started to pray very, very hard to be able to get to a place where I feel congruent within myself. But as I said to you earlier, it all came to full circle. Because when you start to, I think the worry was that I would get out of my faith because energy healing philosophies, the new philosophies that we start to hear right now, are based on different religious philosophies and understanding and principles. And so in Islam, and the beauty of Islam is that you've got to protect the religion. You've got to protect the book and as the word of God, and protect the word of the prophet as in the hadith, right? So the two sources are the ones from which we start to understand life and live by, and they provide us with the blueprint for living a moral and connected life. However, it sometimes is open for more than one interpretation. And so, I noticed in the Quran itself, there are theories that directly relate to quantum theory. They directly relate to the observer theory. And I was like blown away by that, you know. So now I knew from the Quran itself that actually the essence of what energy and this world that we live in is already demonstrated and talked about in the Quran. So I had no fears around that. However, my sister's fear was more like, if you start to practice those Eastern religions or maybe get into them, that will take you away from your faith. And I completely understand that. Now I see it clearly. And when I do a bit of research on whatever modality that I'm engaging with, I ensure that I take what's beneficial and pure and leave out whatever that I feel like does not align to my belief system.
And this is what I really enjoyed about your book, because that's very evident. Everything you've written from a very thoughtful, mindful space. And there is universal truth that is transcribed in all of the major religions. Actually, there's the universal truth, and then there's the additional information that man's interpretation of that truth might kind of clutter it up a little bit with. But what I loved about your book is how you were able to drill down beneath that and really find the true essence. You even have a chapter dedicated to understanding and really being able to perceive and discern truth, what is really truth. So let's talk a little bit about your book. It's divided into three parts, And the first section is about the self. The second is about the context. You've titled the context. And then the third is what you've titled the journey. And all three of these book, these parts, these sections kind of dovetail into what you call the conclusion of your book, which speaks of our potentiality for authentic alignment with source. But throughout your book, you also provide some really beautiful exercises that empower the reader to activate their own spiritual journey of authentic alignment with source from their own unique perspective. And that's what I love about this book, is that you're not, even though this, your journey allowed you to go full circle back to your faith of Islam. I mean, I understand that, because I had a full circle experience myself from my faith, where I could see what is true in all of everything that knits us all together, really. We're not quite as different as we think we are. So, but let's start with part one, which is the section that you titled The Self. And this is where you speak to, you speak about the deepest needs of the soul. And you've also devoted an entire chapter to calming the ego, which is so important. Would you mind talking about what you found to be the deepest needs of the soul, and then also speak about the ego, because even though it's a noun that's thrown around quite a bit, it's often misunderstood, and I think you have a really good handle on it. So if you could just speak to that, that would be lovely. Now, we only have about a minute before the break. I just looked at the clock. I can't believe this is going so quickly. So when we return, I will have you speak to that, if that's okay with you. And then also we'll talk about the other subsequent sections as well as we go. So if you're just tuning in, I just want to remind everyone that you're listening to the Intuitive Transformations radio show on OhmTimes.com. So we'll be back in just a moment after the break with more of Iman Alzabi and sharing from her wealth of wisdom and her book, The Art of Surrender.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hey, let me ask you something. Would you seat your three-year-old child on a windowsill? Would you seat them beside a lit fireplace or by the deep end of a pool? One last question. Would you seat your child in a car seat that's not correct for them? Car crashes are a leading killer of children ages 1 to 13. Secure their future. Seat them in the correct car seat. For more information, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Wow, we're back. I cannot believe we're already in the second half of this show, and we have so much to dig into. So I'm going to try to talk less and just ask questions so that, Iman, you can have more of the stage here and really share from this beautiful book that you've provided for the world in a very timely time when we really need it the most. So before we went to the break, I kind of teased about having you answer my question, which is, what have you found to be the deepest needs of the soul? And then also, please talk about the ego and really what it is and how we can make peace with it. Iman? Oh no, did I lose her?
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, hello? There you are. Yay. Yes, I can hear you now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking. That's all right.
No, that's fine. We didn't hear you, so if you could go ahead and just start with that first question.
Sure. Yeah, so let me take you a little bit above that to just understand the different parts of the book. The reason I divided the book into three sections is because it is very essential for you to understand that surrender is not incidental in nature, and it's not something you practice at the lowest point in your life, even though that's how life kind of pushed me to understand it and practice it myself. But now I'm in a state where it is my everyday kind of state of being. So to be able to get to a state of surrender, you must understand yourself, which is the first part of the book where you understand the self. And then you will need to understand your context, which is, what is my spiritual context, who God is, and what is the nature of God, what are the rules of life, and what resources do I have in terms of my intuition and in my ability to perceive answers. And then finally, taking the journey towards surrender, which is in four stages: to find source, know source, align source, and finally surrender to source. That's basically the way the book flows, to be able to take someone from a space of disconnection to a space of fully connected human being that is fully aligned and feeling that state of pure surrender, which is a state of joy for the soul itself, because that's its nature. It wants to surrender to its creator. So going back to the self, which you talked about earlier, understanding the three primary needs of the soul. Now, the self is basically the soul that comes from the divine realm of truth and then descends into physical reality. It sort of has this body suit on, which is limited by its five senses, and it experiences and it wants to have three things that are very primary and integral to its happiness and well-being. The first soul need is to find and connect to source. So as we said, it comes from the realm of truth. And so when it descends into physical reality, it wants to seek that truth. It wants to connect to it back. And so that's the spiritual journey we all take. When we start to ask the big questions of life, that's when we know, oh, the soul is starting to launch that journey towards understanding, finding and connecting to source. So that's soul need number one. Soul need number two is to find and find ways of being, which are ways in which we become those states that we always long to have. Each soul has its own qualities. So states of being can be those positive states of being free, having fun, states of being, disciplined, moral, states of being compassionate, loving, states of being whatever it might be that could be for you. You know, as I went through that, I understood my states to be of freedom, of being in beauty, states of being in truth is one of those states. So you create a life and design a life that provides for these ways or states. So when you design your life, it allows you to ensure to live such life. For example, for me, I don't get into a job where I have to tick in and out. That is out of the question. I'm sorry, there's a plane moving ahead for our house. And so you design a life that is based on that. Yep. Are we live?
You're live, yes. I was the one that got dropped there. I apologize, everyone. Technology is, it's funny how we started off the show. Technology is technology. So, okay. So did you touch also on the ego while I got dropped from that call?
No, I was still talking about the soul needs. So we said the first need was to find and connect a source. Soul need number two is to find ways of being. Soul need number three is to find ways of expressing. So ways of expressing is, this is when you start to express your innate God-given talents and abilities. Each one of us has got those unique talents inside of us. And again, we don't have to make them into this big change the world kind of purpose. Let's magnify this. It doesn't have to be that way. It could be as simple as you painting. It could be as simple as you caring for your elderly mother. Or it could be whatever it might be. It could be smiling to somebody on the street. You're somebody who's compassionate and loving, and that could be an expression. So when talent meets service, that's when your purpose is born. That's the state in which you can channel your life purpose. So basically, in a nutshell, those are the three primary needs of the soul. So when it comes in, and as we said, it comes into physical reality seeking to have these needs met, right? Mm-hmm. Now, life challenges are exactly designed for you to discover those needs. So you will get to a space where, for example, your body's not feeling well, and you would understand because you were not being forgiven, because you were not connecting inward, or you're not connecting outward. So you're living in a state that is not allowing you to be thriving. It could be that, you know, a life issue that comes your way where you have a relationship issue, and because your soul is kind of nudging you, that it needs to be fixed so that you live in a state of harmony, if that's one of your soul's needs, which is to live in a state of harmony. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so your life would be designed around those unique experiences that allow you to kind of uncover and discover what are the needs to be able to live in full happiness and joy in a way that is more realistic. Not saying that there will not be challenges, because that's never the case for anyone living on this planet, but to say, I understand it, to say, I can move beyond it, I can fix whatever that in myself that is suffering from disconnection, to be able to move it into a state of harmony, understanding that you become a continuous learner of life and a student of life to be able to live a better life for yourself. So the ego basically is this suit that we wear above the soul, and it's made up of negative experiences that we accumulated over the years. It could be that your parents have said things to you that are hurtful. It could be that, you know, the people around you have said things or done things that are traumatic to you. And trauma could be as simple as somebody shouting to something major happening in your life that could be catastrophic, or it could change a big, it could make a big change in your life. So trauma is basically arranged for a child. It's never just a big thing, which most people led to believe. So your understanding of the ego, that it's the cumulative experiences that we put on as we go through life, that requires us to heal them later on. What happens is that these experiences become attractors, and those attractors will start to attract similar situations, similar ways in which we start to, and life becomes like a mirror for us to look, this needs healing in my experience. This is calling me to forgive. This is calling me to let go of the past. This is calling me to become a better person. If you look at it from that perspective, you start to see how life becomes this playground where you start to make changes and shifts, and then you move into a space of contraction to a space of expansion. So that's how you kind of work with the ego and let it become your guide instead of become your enemy, which a lot of the spiritual unfortunately, spiritual beliefs kind of are around that the ego is this nasty thing that we need to get rid of, which in fact is actually the hurt child inside of us that needs attention.
This is why I love your book, okay? Because that is what I also too believe is absolute truth. It's not about, the ego is not the bad guy. It's about healing that woundedness within us. And it really is that innocent child that has decided that it needs to judge itself harshly based upon those painful experiences, that at the time it didn't have the cognitive ability to be able to understand. And so the understanding that this inner child does is basically that there must be something wrong with me. And that's mm-hmm. where that guilt comes from. And then when we have a challenge, instead of recognizing that that's a tool to help us grow and expand, we look at it as an attack. And that's when we contract, because it reminds us of those old wounds so we can heal them. But instead of allowing that process to happen, as you mentioned earlier, we contract, right? We armor up and we resist, and that keeps us stuck and locked in our life rather than going out into expansion. I love you.
That's
You're
correct.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
I have to have you back on again, because I can't believe we're going to be going into another commercial break, and it'll be our last break, and only 15 minutes left in the show. I know this has gone so quickly, hasn't it? And mm-hmm. I really want to dig into how you so explore the transformative power of inquiry, and how to ask the right kinds of questions instead of those "why is this happening to me" questions, which keeps us stuck.
Yeah.
You can ask empowering, expansive questions that will create absolute change in our lives. And I love how you've outlined that so beautifully in your book, through your exercises and the detailed information. So we'll be back in just a moment, everyone. Please stay tuned for more of Iman El-Zabi and Sylvia Henderson on the Intuitive Transformations Radio Show.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and the text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
So welcome back. And Iman, I know that you're a life coach. Mm-hmm. And you're an energy healer, you're a spiritual teacher, and you really do help clients transform their relationships and their careers. You heal past trauma and teach people how to live their authentic truth. With boy, don't we need that today in today's world. And I am with you 110% on that. Can you please let people know how they can get in touch with you, maybe get on your email list? Do you have a website that you can share with them?
Sure. My website is basically imanalzabi.com. So it's imanalzabi.com. And if they sign up to my newsletter, I don't write too much. I don't like to be a burden on people. And I respect that people give me their email addresses. So I just write once a month. And that works for my schedule as well. And if you sign up, you will get a beautiful companion to The Art of Surrender, a beautiful journal, which is it's actually full of reflective questions, full of meditation exercises, full of ways to take the journey further. So you can actually print that off as you read the book. You do even further exercises with that companion book. So it's a beautiful gift. I encourage people to get to have a copy for themselves if they intend to buy the book as well.
Thank you for sharing that, because I was not even aware of that, and I'm definitely going to get my copy of that, because having those reflective questions is huge. One of the things that was a big turning point in my own personal life is when I discovered the power of inquiry, the power of asking questions that would expand my life versus contract them, as I mentioned before we went to the break. And I know we don't have a ton of time left, but can you speak a little bit about, I know in a nutshell, this is probably the meat of the second part of your book. But in a nutshell, can you speak a little bit about why we need to step more into our inquisitive mind, why consciousness responds to that, and how consciousness responds to that with brilliant answers and solutions and guidance for our life?
Sure. Basically, as you know, part of my journey was discerning what is true, what is not true, and moving along this spiritual cloud that we are all kind of finding ourselves in. Is this real? Are they talking about this from a perspective of it being based in truth, or is this something that they just like to talk about? To me, that was the bulk of me understanding the spiritual journey, is to be able to discern. So inquiry was my number one tool that I've used. This is something that I recall way back into my childhood. I've always been the child who asked questions one after the other. It scared my teachers. They couldn't keep up with me. They said, I ask brilliant questions, but sometimes they don't have any answers for me. But that kind of got me on a path where I knew that my questions were the source of my answers, and that I needed to figure out a way to find those answers for myself. And so the spiritual experience talks about how the brain needs to be shut and the brain needs to be quiet, when in fact the brain is that most important faculty a human could have. The brain is what makes us human. It is what makes us feel integrated. It is what gives us this identity that we call the I, though it may appear in the form of ego, but sometimes it appears in the form of the soul, where it expresses itself, where it expresses its beauty and its joy. So it's never to judge the human experience, because we work as integrated beings on the levels of the mind, body, and the soul. So basically, inquiry is when you kind of put out a question to God. I don't like to term it as the universe, because that's too vague. It is God that you put out the question to. And when you do that, we know that life is interconnected, and we know that consciousness is the basis of the universe. And consciousness is basically information. So the minute you ask that question, life kind of responds to that question, and it brings you experiences, it brings you dreams, it brings you ways in which that question is being answered for you. The key is that you become open to that. To say, oh, that's the answer to my question. Oh, that's why I know this is what happened. And I'll give you an example that happened while I was writing the book. I came to a point where I was like, oh, I don't think so. I don't think I'm going to publish this work. I don't think I feel like this is something that needs to go out. So I was having those doubts, which is normal as part of the writing process, as you would know. But I didn't know it back then. And so I remember praying, and after I finished my prayer, I said to God, please show me if I should be publishing this work. So as I sat there, I had a dictionary, and I opened that. I just felt that nudge and the overwhelming sense that I needed to open the dictionary, which I did. And then when I opened it, my hands fell on the word finish. And I was like, okay, and it means the work needs to finish. So that's when I started to understand, okay, life is experiential in nature. Nobody's going to come out there and tell you, here's the answer to your question. There's not going to be a messenger. God is not going to tell you exactly what you need to do at any moment. What needs to happen is that you become aware and responsive and ask those questions so that life can respond to you and give you the answers that you're seeking. And it has to come from a very sincere and open space, not judgmental, not frustrated, not fearful. That doesn't work. What you need to go is just let that aside and be in a centered state where you say, okay, show me the way. Or it could be that you ask questions, what is it that I need to know at this moment? Or it could be that you ask a question, you know, whatever is it that you're seeking in your life, you just start firing those questions and allowing the answers to come to you in experiences one after the other. And they may not come all at once. It's more like you're putting the pieces of the puzzle together. And then there will come a time when you say, oh, now I have a more holistic understanding of this issue. Now I have a more harmonious understanding of such situation. So you need to be patient with it, but that's something where you kind of go in a deeper level of life and understanding of life rather than scratching life from the surface. So if you want to go deep in life, ask deep questions and allow those questions to, you know, increase your understanding of life, increase your consciousness, increase your ability to perceive truth.
That is so good. And what's wonderful about that is the deeper you go, the more joyful your life becomes. Because the deeper you go into God, into Source, into this inquiry and allowing the breadcrumbs to appear and then take inspired action as a result of those breadcrumbs, the more your life expands, the more freedom and joy you experience, the more harmony you experience in your life. And it's very counterintuitive to how we're normally taught to deal with our life. We're taught to deal with it from a very external place of action, action, action. Take these 7 steps to this, or 10 steps to that, or 3 steps to that. And this is about something much deeper and richer than any of those other things can ever provide, because they're not working. That external approach just does not work.
It comes from someone else's experience rather than your own. And so understanding that, okay, I have an intention, I'm going to put it out there. And then surrender is basically you moving into the sacred circle with the divine. Once you've found, known, aligned, and then you start to surrender to God. And in that space, it's the most amazing space, because you start to ask and fire the questions and life responds with the answers for you. And then you move between states of being and states of acting. And that's the dance that each one of us must take in life. It's just taking one step from your side and then being okay with being patient and willing to see what's next, what's going to emerge in my experience to be able to take the next step. So surrender is this dance and move between states of being and acting.
And I love this. This is why, you know, I really want those of you who are listening to understand the value in this book. And I know when people typically hear the word surrender, they think of, oh, I'm giving up. I've lost a battle, so I have to wave a white flag now. And I love, Iman, how you have so eloquently shared surrender is really about moving into the sacred circle of the divine, and then moving between being, embodying that, and then taking the inspired action and going back and forth. So you go into that sacred circle of the divine, you get the information, or you set the intention, or you ask those questions. Then as God, I always say universe, because some people have some hang-ups around the word God, but it is God. It's source of all that is, creator of all that is,
that
then provides you these little breadcrumbs that are hidden. Like when you said, oh, my hands, you know, the word finish popped up into my awareness. And that was the answer you needed in order to actually publish your book. So people can get your book basically on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Is it also available on your
wherever
website?
Books are sold. iTunes, Kindle, wherever they're sold. Yeah.
Fantastic. One of the other things that we didn't get a chance to dig into this was, you know, you referenced Janet Connor's work which is the soul pages, and writing mm-hmm. that out. That she's been on my show before, and I love her dearly. And that a practice I practice every day, and I tell all of my clients too that struggle, especially they have a lot of emotional content going on, or I call it emotional clutter. To me, it's a great way to defragment the mind and allow more space for you to enter into that sacred circle of the divine. But I will have to have you back on so that we can talk all about that, because there's so much in your book that we can do several shows and still really not dig deep enough. So for those of you who are listening, I invite you and I encourage you to go out and get this book, The Art of Surrender, A Practical Guide to Enlightened Happiness and Well-Being by Iman Al-Zabi. And Iman, thank you so much for joining us at this late hour from beautiful Abu Dhabi. And I so appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Well, everyone, thank you for listening, and have a fantastic week. Know that you are surrounded and supported by the love of the divine always, effortlessly and continuously. Take care and have a great week. Bye-bye.